Good afternoon. My name is Dwayne Davis, Sr. I'm not going to be light too much for this because I'm the only opposition here.
No, you're not the only
opposition. The Constitution protects freedom of speech, and I'm not going to justify the cybernet bullying with freedom of speech. You got bullies that's going to bully you if you got the internet or not. You got enough laws on the books that covers a lot of this that we're doing. So personally, I feel it's a waste of time. Now, they had the Ravens in here and everybody in there. I'm a youth advocate called Shorties. Governor O'Malley approved this program in 2006. And right here, that's Ozzie Newsom and the Baltimore Ravens. So he ain't the only people that got celebrities. And in this book, it shows a lot of the people in Maryland personalities as far as the program that I'm talking about. The program deals with cybernet bullying and deals with bullying, period. It deals with teaching the youth how to get along with each other, regardless of if you're black, white, straight, or gay. It engages the youth to work out their problems amongst themselves. And when it comes to cybernet bullying, to have somebody intervene, you don't have to have more laws on the books. You got to have more people concerned. Law's not going to deter me from bullying you. My attitude toward you is going to deter me bullying you, or vice versa. Most of the people in here that's 50 and older, you know, if you had a bully in school, at 3 o'clock you meet him in the back, punch him in his mouth, and it's over. Either going to be your friend and you're going to keep it moving. You can't do that nowadays. But these laws that y'all trying to put on here ain't going to stop it. You got to have some people in here. You got to have the counseling. Those are the things that you need to be promoting instead of locking people up and making this a criminal activity. Because you get bullied in jail. You get bullied on your job. You get bullied in life. But if we don't start learning how to treat each other like civil individuals, then it's going to go on. And I don't need 3 minutes. I'm done.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, Madam Vice Chair, members of the committee. My name is Sarah Love, and I'm here on behalf of the ACLU of Maryland. Delegate Cardin was gracious enough to provide me with a copy of his amendments prior to today, so I'm going to address my comments to the bill as amended. As a parent, I want to say that I'm saddened and horrified at what these families have had to go through, and my heart goes out to them. And I commend Delegate Cardin and Ray Rice and everybody here who is speaking out against bullying and cyberbullying. I must say, however, that HB 396 is not the way to do this. With all due respect to Professor Meyerson, this bill is unconstitutional. It is unconstitutional under the Fifth Amendment and under the First Amendment. And I'm going to start with the Fifth Amendment. This bill is overly vague. As you have heard, it seeks to criminalize standard civil torts, torts that have been a part of our civil sphere since time immemorial. This bill would criminalize things that cause such things as public scorn, hatred, contempt, ridicule. While those are things that are dealt with in the civil sphere, they are not nearly specific enough to withstand constitutional scrutiny to be crimes. Let me just give you an example. Bobby asks Sally out. Sally doesn't want to go out with him. Bobby posts on his Facebook, "Sally likes Jimmy." Well, everybody knows Jimmy's a loser. So is that exposing Sally to public scorn? Is Bobby now a criminal? Let me give you another example. What if Susie knows Janie dyes her hair? Janie doesn't want anybody to know that she dyes her hair. But Susie tweets, "Janie dyes her hair." Has she now exposed her to ridicule? These are the things that would fall under this statute because it is overly vague. It is also, as I said, unconstitutional under the First Amendment. Going to your question, Delegate Schmeigel, the test. Your test is, when it's a content-based regulation of speech, as these are, the question is it narrowly tailored to serve a compelling governmental interest, and is there no less restrictive alternatives available? As I just mentioned, it's not narrowly tailored, and there are less restrictive alternatives available. Leaving these as civil torts, the crimes, as some of you have mentioned, that we already have on the books. And there are instances where schools can get involved when the behavior is so pervasive that it causes a material disruption into the school atmosphere. So I see that my time is up, but I'm happy to answer any questions, and I urge an unfavorable report on HB 396. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chairman, members of the committee. Ricardo Flores with the Office of the Public Defender. Our position is not that these incidents or behaviors shouldn't be illegal. Our position is that most of what we've heard today already is. And I think based on the questions from the committee members, the committee's already identified some of the parts of the statute which are duplicative of this proposal. I do want to cover them very briefly. I understand that there's amendments that have been made, and I don't know whether some of my prepared comments address the new version of the bill or not. So with apologies with respect to that, I'm just going to try to cover the general terrain of what we know was duplicative of the originally drafted bill. There is laws against stalking and harassment. Harassment is 3-803. It's a misdemeanor punishable by 90 days and $500. Stalking is 3-802, misdemeanor punishable by 5 years or $5,000. And to one of the points that was being made about credible threats, these current statutes contemplate the effect on the person who is being harassed or stalked. And so it's not an issue of whether you have to decide whether the kind of threat or the language or the conduct of the perpetrator is a credible threat or a threat at all, but whether it seriously harasses, annoys, or puts into fear the victim from the standpoint of a reasonable person. So it's a subjective, and I would say, broader protection against the kind of conduct that is being discussed here. And both stalking and harassment are not place-specific. It can be at a school, it can be at the workplace, it can be basically in public life. And so the particular concern, which we agree with and is a legitimate one, regarding students in school is covered by these laws. And one of the things that I want to be clear about, which of course you know, is that there are the options for citizens to apply for a statement of charges to the police directly without getting a police report or police officers involved that get a commissioner to look at the alleged facts of these types of situations, which then makes the commissioner decide whether they should put an arrest warrant out for the individual. The individual is then brought in.